Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I pulled over at the side and turned my lights off. Now people probably think I was getting rid of their body.
Mm-hmm. 20 Minute Tins, episode 283, the flagship podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, joined by Stephen.
Yes, you are.
And Martin Melly.
You are.
And we have got some delicious games of football to talk about. I just want to start off by saying that this podcast is brought to you by our Patreon, patreon.com/20minutetims. Now, last couple of weeks, we've sort of been a wee bit jokey about the Patreon and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to take a little minute to tell you that if you want to support this podcast, if you like what we do, if you like that we've evolved from three guys huddled around one 50 quid microphone to everything that you see here, that's all thanks to the people that support us on Patreon. And in exchange for their support, we offer them extra podcasts, videos, and blogs. Three Celtic fans, season ticket holders, match-going Celtic fans, covering Celtic, all aspects... That's us. That is us. All aspects of Celtic. Previews, reviews, match reports, and we do feature podcasts and writing and all that sort of good stuff. Patreon.com/20minutetims. Peruse it at your leisure. You can support us from about £2 a month, and I'm sure you will see
not
something
money.
You like on
it's
there.
That's not even money. It's not even real.
No, it's Happy Meal money, as I keep saying. Less than one Happy Meal a month, you can support this podcast. Keep us going. Thank you for listening. Melly, Celtic v Leverkusen, or Leverkusen v Celtic, I should give it the proper title. And said before the game that he was not going to back down. He wasn't going to find some sort of formula or some way of playing. He thought, I'm going to play the way I always play. I'm going to take it to them, and we learn more about ourselves and playing in that manner. I don't think we can deny that Celtic did take it to Leverkusen. What did you learn?
I learned that Celtic are a good team. Watching the game, I mentioned this on the reaction myself when you'd done that. Previous night I'd watched PSG versus Man City, and it was two teams just going at it. Both got their own style of play, both playing out from the back. Great to watch. It was like another sport. Now, I'm not going to come on here and say Leverkusen versus Celtic was like that game. Obviously the quality was a lot better, but it was two teams that had a style and two teams that went out and done it. If you were watching that and you're a neutral, you'd say, you know what, that Celtic can play. They can play, they can play out from the back, they know what they're doing, everybody's got a role and everybody's going at it. And despite the late loss, it was enjoyable because I felt like Celtic are back, we're competing with a team, we nearly got there going into the last 10 minutes, but I feel that Celtic can pass the ball about. And more importantly, when we attack, we have purpose and we can score against any team.
Bayer Leverkusen, Stephen, one of the favourites for the tournament, as we've previously discussed. What did you learn for Celtic taking it to Leverkusen? And do you approve of that approach?
Well, I'm not going to sit here, I'm not going to fall into the trap of sitting here gushing about what was ultimately a defeat, but I think you can take more from it than just the end result at the end of the day. I think, sure. I agree with Melly, I think what I mainly took away from the game is that Celtic, for the first time in a while, looked like they belonged at that level. And you're right to say Leverkusen are one of, they're probably the best team in the competition. Yeah. Whether they're going to win it or not is a different matter. But in terms of the ability that they can call upon, really you're only looking at Leicester, West Ham at a push. I mean, but that's highly debatable. I would fancy the Leverkusen's chances against any of them. So to have gone up against one of, if not the best team in the competition, and almost, and again, it's almost, fair enough, right? But I'm not going to gush about a defeat, but it was almost one of the great away European results. Yeah. If it wasn't for that just last few minutes collapse against a brilliant team, let's face it, We would have been extremely happy about taking a 2-1. Even a draw, I think, would have been a creditable result there. But it really stung to finally lose the game, unfortunately.
When you said collapse there, I know what you mean, but it's not the usual collapse we're used to, is it? Yeah. Where you're like, oh, not, because it kind of did feel like it was coming. But in this instance, I just felt, because they've got better players than us. It's not as if they're like the usual just Celtic goal after goal conceding in there. And when they scored the goals, they were really good finishes as well. So it's not as if it's the comedy ones like we're used to in the past. So while Celtic, like the goal we did score, the Jota goal, will go down, I'm just annoyed that it's lost in a defeat, because it was an absolute peach. How many times have we sat here and said, how can teams do that to us and we never do it to them? Well, a couple of times I've said that we're starting to do this to teams now. And yes, it is very early on and all that, but we are out the competition ultimately and we'll drop down. But we have taken a lot from these Europa League games. In all of them, I think we've played well in spells. It's just not got the results ultimately.
Yeah. We do concede a lot of goals in Europe. Yeah. But this is kind of the thing that we were promised with Ange. You know what I mean? But is that like an excuse? Is there another way to play here? Is there another way to play? You know, for example, you're leading the game. Could Ange at that point have changed what we've done and try and secure it and see it home? Because we were under a lot of pressure. I mean, I'm discussing this purely for the sake of conversation on the podcast. I personally don't really think there was, especially when we see what happened when the subs came on.
It's a worthwhile topic. Yeah, when did Jota's goal go in? Was it about half an hour to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's quite a long time to shut up shop against a much better team than you. And I'm not being defeatist there or anything like that, but I think it's a long, long way to go for you to sort of retreat into your half and try and close things out a wee bit. And I don't know if we've necessarily got the players for it just now. Missing a couple of key players that maybe would have helped with that. Starfelt was out. We're playing, you know, a bit of a makeshift defence at times. I mean, it's all ifs and buts and all that, but I don't know if I necessarily would agree that with half an hour to go, we could have afforded to just say, right, let's...
Shut up, manage
batten down the hatches and all that.
No, I don't think so. I think what we've seen in the game was Celtic were very good going forward and on the counter-attack, so maybe the best way to get the result would be to get the next goal rather than sitting and defend, because throughout my lifetime, Celtic have never been able to do that, and it's not a coincidence. Look, we go into every game in our domestic league and we're dominant in most of the games, so when do you get to really practice the sitting in and defending? It doesn't happen. And ultimately, like we're talking about, Ange needs the players for his system. Okay, does he need a completely different set of players to sit in and defend?
But well, I thought there was a degree of like game management against Aberdeen. We went up there, we didn't defend, but we sort of kept the ball, slowed things down a wee bit. I thought against Leverkusen towards the end of the game, like you said, we all knew the goal was coming, and I felt that was because we just felt like we couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah, and I think the problem there was the substitutes. The level dropped when the subs came on, didn't they? Kyogo, Jota and Forrest were all capable. If you give them the ball, you've described Forrest as a guy that gives you yards, Stephen. Kyogo's making those runs in behind, which pushes their defence back a wee bit, and you can give Jota the ball and he can take somebody on, replacing them, those three, while it was probably kind of necessary, because then ultimately we did get the win against Aberdeen. You're just looking at it and going, see, if we had one or two players who were on a wee bit higher than the subs we brought on, I think maybe if you'd have brought on one or two, maybe you get away with it, but taking the three off and then the level going completely down, you've said before, a jetty kills this team. And when he comes on, like, even if we had a Giakoumakis, at least it's somebody we can go a wee bit more direct to and maybe get out that way. But
we griff.
Yeah, why? It's still not starting for Dundee.
He's still getting his fitness up in near December.
Yep. Yep. So it's just that.
It's bulking season, isn't it? You bulk in winter.
Oh, he bulked in pre-season last summer, didn't he? But it's just we just see with Celtic, we are just a wee bit short. As soon as you take one or two players out the first 11 and then go to make subs, the level drops, and it showed the other night whether we'd have got the result. But while making the subs, probably, like, you can't just play the same players for 90 minutes if we don't make the subs and then we lose the game. Well, why didn't you change it? So it's one of those But ultimately, we lost the game, and it was just, I think, a wee bit more quality might have seen us through.
Ange is fond of this, isn't he? It's not the first time he's faced a little bit of criticism. I do stress that it's a little bit of criticism, but for taking off the entire front three with quite a lot of the game to go, because as you're...
There was like half an hour or so ago.
Yeah, as you say, it's an enormous drop in quality, and they just can't offer you what that front three does. Now, you can't play the same players all the time. We need to find minutes for these guys, and the guys who start need to be managed properly, especially Forrest and probably Kyogo as well. Yeah. Kyogo will get to a point this season, having played a lot in Japan and come straight to Scotland, where he can't play as much. I do understand that, but it's just, it's quite alarming to see the entire front three come off and see the players that replace them. I was quite, I think it was just the being irritated at losing those couple of goals. Mm-hmm. I started calling them, that's like a Hibs level front three we've got. We're playing the rest of this game with like a Hibs front three with Abada, Ayeti and Johnston, was it? That's quite harsh on Johnston, but the other two, I don't know if it's probably quite accurate, but it's quite a weird habit he's got, Ange. No, I don't know
sometimes
if he's right
to
do it.
Sometimes I think that, and I'm not just talking about this game in particular, but I feel like we're stumbling upon a point that I've been wanting to make for a couple of weeks in the podcast. Is like, we all like Ange, we all trust the process and we know there's a process in place, but sometimes I feel that the meat and potatoes of the job is winning football games, and we've always got an excuse on hand for Ange not to win these games. And like, if he changes, if another manager was, you know, to take off your best three players or the best four players in the game, ended up getting substituted, right, took all best four players off and replaced them, you think to yourself, we half an hour to go. It's not like it was 10 minutes left. You're kind of...
Well, half an hour, we scored with half an hour to go, mm-hmm. so it was into the 70 minutes when we made these subs, but I'm not really wanting to make that excuse, but Ange is there to win games, so is his chance. He has a better chance of winning more games if he has these three players available. If he keeps them on for 90 minutes for each game, he's not going to have them available. We've seen,
no, man. Play 90 minutes, 2 weeks, two games in a row. Some players in the team did do it. Some players do it. Ante Ralston does it. Juranovic does it. Lots of players do it.
The three up front are the ones that are constantly pressing from the front. It's a wee bit different. We've already seen Kyogo be injured this season, and Forrest has been out for a long spell. So do you risk taking them out? And then that Aberdeen game was another must-win game. If we don't get the points there, then does the manager take the flak for that? Because we've seen Kyogo and McGregor out the team, we fail.
We knew the Aberdeen game was the more important one, I suppose. We did say that, and we took it to Leverkusen and maybe try to have his cake and eat it a wee bit and manage that week's fixtures with the players. But I just think sometimes I was disappointed to see the players come off. Even when that happened, I thought it was so early. And we were talking about a game recently, it was the St Johnston game. We were talking about the substitutes, the fact that he left Abada on so long. Mm. And sometimes I'm looking at the timing of these substitutes and going, maybe there's a wee bit more we could do there.
I think so. I think ultimately, though, I think what the basic problem here is that the squad is desperately short on quality, that we can't really change much. We've been saying this all season and it has got better, but unfortunately we've run into, and it will happen, it'll happen to every team, we've run into another wee spate of key injuries, really. Mm. We've missing Rogic, who had come on to the best football he'd played in 3 or 4 years. Starfelt, another I've just mentioned, Greg Taylor, guys like that could probably make a difference to this team. Not that Greg Taylor's a wonderful player or anything like that, but he might free things up to make different changes. But I think we just need to get to January, basically, and hopefully we can get some reinforcements in.
Let's talk about... Oh, on you go.
I was going to say, while with Jota and all that going off, there was a drop in quality. For all his faults, Neil Beaton going off was probably the one as well.
Was great in that game.
He played very well and he had his odd pass or two, but you're going, as soon as he's getting on form, he goes off with an injury and misses a game. And
that's his whole career, by the way. Yeah. That's like 9 years of that. As soon as he starts to establish himself, he'll just get injured.
It's why guys like him and Rogic, I felt, could never be relied upon, because you're looking at players who need to play 50, 60 games and they're just not built for that. That's why we need to go into January and sign at least one or two midfielders, because while the forward line didn't really do what it was supposed to when it came on, just that midfield change as well. For all, I think McCarthy could still be a decent player. He's going in there, barely played recently, and that was a big problem for us.
I mean, we talk a lot about how good the attackers in this team are. Asked you a question a couple of weeks ago. I said, who's the best player in this team? And you both went, Kyogo. And I said, wrong, it's Jota. So I'm going to ask you the question again. Who's the best player in this football team?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you were right all those couple of weeks ago. I think Jota has finally snatched it.
Write it down, mark the date, write in the comments. Jamie was right, because it doesn't
happen. First for everything.
First time this year.
The guy's been unbelievable, and we're getting to the kind of the good old days of the podcast where we would get a player who was so in form, like Tierney or Sinclair or Dembele or any of these guys, who we kind of ran out of things to say about them because it was like week after week after week of Jota or Dembele or whatever has done something extraordinary. Let's talk about that and try and find different words for it. But the guy is unbelievable, Jota, and he's proven it. See, when he first came into the team, Jamie, you and I were at his debut together. I think it was it Ross County from memory? I think they won 3-0 against Ross County, And he looked great in that game, but what he looked like was the type of winger who does a load of tricks, skins players, but then belts it over the bar for 30 yards, because he did that a couple of times in that game. And I thought,
Do you know who else looked like that when they first broke into the Man United team? There was a lot of that for Ronaldo, wasn't there?
Exactly.
There was a lot. They used to get the piss mercilessly ripped out of him for doing all that.
Stepovers and all that. But Jota, I mean, that's miles off. That's just what he looked like in his debut. I thought he was going to be one of those wingers where you're like, right, well, that's his flaw. He looks really good on the ball, but can he actually deliver anything? Well, question well and truly delivered on that one.
I mean, that Europa League Twitter account, they're leaning into it now, but it's just a Jota and Kyogo highlight reel. Yeah. But I mean, Jota's absolutely brilliant, and it's one of these players that he's a level above. You can tell he's a level above. Like, domestically he can do it, but we're talking about the European game. He's doing that against top level European opposition.
Yeah, and it's something we've really needed, because look, the quality that left the club in the summer, where it was all done for them, but are we going to get MD up to that standard? And Jota looks better than what we've had recently. Right. I thought El Yunusi was a really good player, but Jota's a completely different player for him. And he's the kind of guy you love, because every time you're going to the game, you're like, I'll get to see Jota. He'll do something that will entertain you. And that's all my life through going to see Celtic. It started with probably De Canio was the first guy I came and thought, wowee, this guy is something special. And it's just Celtic have been littered with that throughout the years. We've sort of lost that recently, since Paddy Roberts left, obviously. And we've just got a guy in Jota now who is unbelievable. And as you're saying, he's doing it on the big stage, and that's where he's going to be playing with Celtic.
It's kind of annoying that I've already played the outrageous comparison card a couple of weeks ago with the De Canio thing. There's very few places to go from there. I should have held that one to that for a couple of weeks and see how it went. But the guy's unbelievable, and just... I know Ange was asked again as to what's happening with him, whether they sign him and all that again. And
I will say, the chat around that from outside, obviously all the fans want him to stay, right? But the chat about that from outside kind of lukewarm into it, from like the comments from, there's nothing like, oh, he really wants to stay and all this. And even he, I think, was asked recently, you know, he's like, oh, I'm enjoying my football. And then David Turnbull was asked about it, and David Turnbull went, boop, 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 Jota, enjoy football, thanks.
Spot on impression there.
Pretty good, dear.
Add that to the repertoire.
Here's my David Turnbull impression. Jota like football. That was a joke, but well, it wasn't a joke actually. It's bang on.
Also, we've waxed lyrical about Jota, but as well, Panenka, come on, boys.
Come on. I apparently told Joe Hart he was going to do that. Like a couple of weeks ago, he said to Joe Hart in training, next time I get a penalty, I'm going to Panenka.
Is that when they were out for dinner? Remember, there was a place of them being out for a wee steak?
Must have been. He went, I'm going to take you for a steak. I've got something to tell you. Sit down, order the meals. He's like, you got nothing.
Joe Hart's getting
nothing.
All excited. What's he going to ask me?
We'll have a starters then, I'll tell you. And starter, and then the main goes, he goes, right, okay. He goes, look, I'm going to Panenka penalty. Joe Hart's like, can I fucking text me? What's this? Right, I must have been.
You deserve to be told to your face, Joe.
Over a steak dinner.
Stunning, absolutely brilliant. What a penalty. And John Hartson absolutely lost his shit in commentary over it. He went through about five octaves of commentary, John Hartson, and he was saying things like, not only an amazing penalty, not only a Panenka, but to kiss it off the underside of the bar. I'm like, you don't mean that. You surely don't aim for the bar and hope it hits the underside of it. But that's what makes it
even
more.
You're shat himself when it hit the bar. I think Chris Sutton tweeted something to that effect.
From his angle, obviously, what you'll see is the ball dropping down from the bar, and you think, oh, is that going to hit the line? The keeper gets back up. But no, the good thing about it kissing the underside of the bar, from our perspective, is it just makes it look more aesthetically pleasing. It's not what you aim for. No. I certainly hope not. But what a penalty it was.
The goal as well, the penalty I'm talking about here, I was speaking to Stephen about before we started here, like, previous years we wouldn't have got that, because keepers have been getting away with that nonsense for years, like coming out flying, and just flinging their fists in the way, or coming out with their knees first, the Alan McGregor special.
You get away with it in Scotland.
Just protecting themselves. Like, you can use your hands, mate. You don't need to sling a knee in somebody's face. But I'm glad Celtic got it, because in that game, despite passing the ball well, we hadn't really created much, and I felt once we got that goal, it just gave us a load of belief and a lot more confidence to go out there and play. And it really set Bayer Leverkusen apart as well, because they were playing well at the time, and it was just ideal time to get it. And as soon as we score that, it's just the usual for me: get to half time, please get to half time, and we did.
I'd go even further than that with the referees and keepers thing. I think, see if you watch that back, right, the cross comes in and a Leverkusen defender heads it away up in the air before it reaches the keeper, and the keeper just follows it through straight into Kyogo. I reckon if the ball had been anywhere in the vicinity, the keeper would have got away with that. They get completely away. Bear in mind, it wasn't given until VAR told them about that, to go and look back at it. But keepers rather do that all the time. They just come out and punch people or clatter into bodies, and they get away with it because their keeper, they're like this protected species. I reckon if the ball had reached the 6-yard box, it wouldn't have been given as a penalty.
Because when the ref went over, he only took like 2 or 3 replays, and I thought, if he's taking that long, it must be a penalty. And when you see it again, you're like, geez,
I like the gestures. After he'd watched the VAR, he was doing things like that on the way back to the defence.
You need the trips, no? Yeah. Look, we forgot to mention actually their goal, because I want to talk about that, because they scored that Andrich boy, some player, incidentally, yes. Jesus. Yeah. They scored that header there. And there's this thing, and it happens all the time, and it is sometimes useful, where immediately on social media, people watch the replays and the screenshots flying, and it's like always one individual person is to blame for the goal. So as soon as that happened, there was like, Ralston's to blame, lost his man and all that.
Well, Hartson blamed Welsh because he was the closest guy.
But I just think that's one of that was a great cross into the area that exactly what it was meant to go to. They'd obviously identified that. But also that run, Melly. He's at the back, bursts through crowd of bodies, try tracking somebody through a crowd of bodies and everything else is going on. He knew, and the difficulty is he knew exactly where he was going to end up, because he knew where the ball was going. He knew the space to attack. Welsh is in his zone, but this guy's got a run and a jump and a couple of seconds ahead of him. Very difficult to defend against.
It was a great ball and a great header. Like, Celtic aren't the biggest team physically, apart from the 2 centre-halves, and even then they're not massive for centre-halves. Beaton, but we know he's no good at heading the ball. And Ralston, he's just physical for a right back. He's not exactly tall. So we're going to get out-jumped by people. The problem is Celtic conceding another one in Europe from a corner. But again, you're putting us on to last season and the season before. So yes, while it doesn't look great, sometimes you're going to concede from corners. But ultimately, we could maybe be doing a bit better. But sometimes these guys are brilliant. He can put that ball right on the money. Yeah. The run's on point as well. Sometimes you need to hold your hands up.
I feel like we play against one of those every season. See that Andrich guy? You can trail the lineage back all the way from Milinkovic-Savic for Lazio and then Kondogbia for Valencia. These kind of big, powerful defensive midfielders sort of thing that can also play a bit. And Andrich got a double against us. It wasn't just like a big sort of Fellaini-esque battering ram. He was also a pretty elegant player along with it.
And the worst thing about it is Wirtz was absolutely, he's better than him they get two of them.
He'll be at Chelsea or Real Madrid or something within 2 seasons. Absolutely. He's 18 and absolutely bossing it.
We've got a couple of good players on our side though, right? Let's talk about Cameron Carter-Vickers, who I thought had an excellent game. He's a muscular man. He's got back like a ninja turtle. That's what he looks like from behind. I thought he was unbelievable. Joe Hart, since the minute he arrives in Glasgow, has been the talk of everybody. Has had an opinion on Joe Hart. Bad signing, good signing, past it, disgrace, not the best keeper at the club, barkass. Everyone's had their say on Joe Hart, right? Everyone's had their say on Joe Hart.
Okay.
Right? Facts speak for themselves. Joe Hart cost £1 million, right? Took a massive pay cut to come to Celtic. Well, that's none of our business what he was getting paid before, but I don't even think he's the highest paid player at the club by reports. Joe Hart came to Celtic for £1 million to play football. He was given his chance, he's taken it, and I think some of the saves he pulled off in that game, one in particular, he's keeping us in games. And that's something, it doesn't matter if he's not the perfect player for the system or anything else you want to talk about, some football playing utopia that might exist. Joe Hart is keeping the ball out in the net. He's making the saves that the other players, the other keepers were only making. And he's reminding me of Fraser Foster. It's some of these, I mean, I don't think I'll ever see a goalkeeping performance like Fraser Foster that won his that League Cup.
Yeah, that no, was no. Aye, one of the all-time greats.
Absurd goalkeeping performance, right? But week to week, Fraser Foster was just good at keeping the ball out of the net. And that's what we're seeing with Joe Hart.
You know, another mention for the Lazio game there. Foster was absolutely ridiculous in that game as well. But Joe Hart, not only that, he triggered the move for the goal as well. Yeah, his distribution led directly to a goal. But the double save to which you're referring was astounding, absolutely unbelievable. I've seen it back again today. I watched the highlights earlier before we started, and I jumped out of my seat when that happened because I was so resigned to watching the ball just ripple into the back of the net that it only takes a few seconds for that ball to go across, and then you basically just sort of sigh internally and think, well, that's it. There's the moment. There's the Celtic in Europe moment, and we're done from this point on. So for the ball not to hit the net there, I actually jumped up. I was like, that's incredible, what a save. And I've seen it back, and it's more impressive the second time I saw it because it's hard to work out what exactly he did. So he obviously got his left hand down to it, which apparently is useless. He doesn't dive to his left there. But not only to get a hand to that, because the striker is coming in on it. Now, it bounces off him, so it bounces away from him, giving Hart a chance to get to it. But even still, the striker is more than the favourite because even if Hart gets a hand to it, surely you just blast it through the guy's hand into the net. But he not only got a hand to it, he followed round with his body, got his other hand down on it and pulled it away. It's unbelievable.
That guy could have been lining up to absolutely stick the laces right through that, and Joe Hart could have got a sore one, but he's putting his face and he's putting his body on the line to keep it out the net.
He's been tremendous. Barely made a mistake and just exactly what we need. He's a good goalkeeper, but he's also a great leader. And this
game or was it the Aberdeen game? He was dealing with Gavin Strachan on something.
Yeah, it was this game. It was later on. There was corner and he went over to Gavin Strachan. I think it was the first half and they were talking about. I think it was because Andrić was getting space. They were going to tweak something in the way they were lining up for corners. But I've rarely seen that. But with Joe Hart, whenever there's a break, he's over to somebody, whether it's over the sideline or whether it's one of the players. He's always giving out instruction. And
just on strike, do you know he turned down a managerial job in England?
Hartlepool.
Oh, really?
No, Greg. I didn't know that. Greg. I'm getting on. It was Hartlepool.
I thought you were going to say Maplin or some sort of PC world or some computer player.
I should have. That would have been a better joke.
Apple. There you go.
But, a genius bar.
So
the Geek Squad.
Poor Cyber Gav, man.
Cyber Gav.
With Joe Hart, he's just perfect for Celtic right now. He's exactly what we need. And if he continues like this, look, he might take over Fraser Foster if he stays on this trajectory.
Do you know what he needs? He needs a Joe Hart game. He needs one of those games, and I think he's got it in him, where you all come away to, everyone comes away talking about how good Joe Hart was in that game. How good was Joe Hart?
That could have been
fun. And the game is coming up. And we had the chance to ask Joe Hart a question when he signed, and Martin Melee asked him, are you looking forward to putting the Huns in their place? He didn't say that. Are you looking forward to putting Rangers in their place? Because you can't say that word anymore, apparently. Nope. Are you looking forward to putting Rangers in their place? And he sort of brushed it off, but his face said... His face said yes.
It's what he didn't say that was an important thing. Yeah,
precisely.
Well, on comparing him to other keepers, I think we maybe speculated about this when he first signed. Bear in mind, we didn't really know how it was going to go because we were doubtful of it as well. When he came in, a guy who's been, he's fallen away from the peak of his career quite a bit by the time he rocked up at Celtic. But what I maybe thought he could do was he could marry the different aspects of Fraser Foster and Artur Boric together He's a good shot stopper, as Foster is, but he's also got that character, that kind of zany, combustible nature that Artur, he's not as mental as Artur Boric at all, but he does have that in him. We all saw the videos of him kicking like advertising boards and all that and then screaming at ball boys years ago. Right. Seems to have calmed in a wee bit from that, but he does have that cult appeal, which is probably why we've bought so heavily into him as well as his great performances.
I want him to turn up, and I just want one of those games that will finally just shut up everybody. Just that, that'll be it.
Bear in mind, though,
how long is his contract, by the way?
Two or 3 years.
Surprisingly. But bear in mind what that game is going to look like at the time.
I can take it, mate.
But that cup final was absolutely horrendous.
Oh, I've never felt anything like that in a match before. The Thursday could have been that.
That's the most money I've ever won in a Kupna, I think, in my puff. I had something like Celtic to win 1-0 and Julian to score first. Was that how the game ended up? Yeah, something like that. I won about £480. And then I was in a Glasgow bar after it, and then the whole Celtic team piled in. I got a picture taken with them and all that.
Gamble and drink responsibly, folks, and hang about with the Celtic team responsibly.
Yes.
With Joe Hart, Thursday night probably could have been that game if we had got out there with the 2-1, because he had that save, he had another couple of saves. He was great. It was just unfortunate that the two goals and Joe Hart's performance will sort of get lost in the 3-2 defeat.
What is German Stephen for every day I'm shuffling?
I don't
attempt it. Listen, you touched on it. You said Joe Hart sprung the Celtic goal. Great vision to see James Forrest. Just a second, though. James Forrest was absolutely sensational.
I think you mean Craig Forrest.
Craig Forrest, John Hartson.
Craig Forrest. John Hartson got a little bit excited and called him Craig Forrest. And the brilliant thing about that is that commentary is going to be immortalised forever because it's right before the goal. So that'll be there forever.
Great long kick to Craig Forrest. Yes. Brilliant first touch by Forrest. Gave the ball out, stayed onside, used the old noggin to keep himself onside, played Kyogo in. And what I particularly enjoyed about this goal, Martin Maley, was I don't think Kyogo knew Jota was there, but he knew the system meant Jota was probably going to be there. So he played the ball into space, expecting Jota to be there. And look who arrives on the scene, Jota, finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. You might be doing a disservice there. The vision of Kyogo has been something we've always noticed here.
I just didn't see him take the look. I didn't see him look over. He was like holding the guy off and he just stuck it out to the left.
Yeah, it's all about the scanning these days, isn't it? Yeah, they're all constantly scanning. Look, if he's got the sense it'll be there, he did brilliantly. But when I first seen it, I thought it was Beaton, if that move had broke down with Beaton with that poor pass, you'd have been absolutely raging. But when I seen it again, I didn't realise it was Kyogo that played the ball, and I thought Beaton would get another opportunity, but just the way he got it and played it on the turn to Jota, it was tremendous from him, the vision or the awareness, whatever it is. But the finish from Jota on his weaker foot is an absolute peach and all, man.
Well,
it was
that's
great.
Further to Kyogo's credit in that as well, because he wasn't played in, he recovered a crap pass from Beaton. Yes. Beaton played it into a defender who kind of stumbled and the ball dropped. So Kyogo turns and plays it first time out to Jota without even seeing him, and to rattle that in, because he had more time than that.
Yeah.
You would have forgiven him for taking a touch and maybe being closed down or try to cut inside on his right foot or something like that. That would have been totally understandable. But to just rifle it into the bottom corner like that, left peg, scintillating.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we're out. Ultimately, we are out of the competition. No, it's not the worst, is it, though? We've got European football in the new year. We follow into the Europa Conference. We've said this a couple of times in the podcast now. Where we were a couple of weeks ago, but where we were at the beginning of the season, a couple of months ago now, we didn't think Europa League was going to, so we went in, we've acquitted ourselves well. I suppose the only question remaining is, do we owe Betis a game? Or do you play the reserves? Do you play a second string side against Betis, or do we owe them a match? I think, knowing Ange the way I do, and knowing how that first leg went, I think we owe them a game. At Celtic Park, I think we owe them a game.
I think we can maybe do a bit of both. I think we can really try and win the game, because you want to do that at home regardless. Yeah, you don't want to have fans turning up for a second string, but I do think you could probably survive dropping Kyogo, maybe not playing James Forrest, just guys who could do with either a rest or generally a break out of the team for a week. I think we could probably survive that. I think that in general, if we turn up to that game, we would be understanding of that rather than coming up and it's like the B team that are out. So I don't think we'd do that, but I think we can probably afford to change things up a little bit, yeah.
Oh, it'd be a lot of rotation for me, to be honest. Keep guys like Joe Hart in, but if Greg Taylor's back, then we could see him, Julian Starfelt working back to fitness, Rogic as well.
Yeah.
There is options, and if we do have Abada, Forrest, and maybe Giakoumakis back, I'd maybe go that up front, because look, this game, as much as I like to see Celtic go out there and beat them, it's going to do absolutely nothing, really. If anything, it'll probably harm some players playing them in this with the potential where the December schedule's mental as it is, with cup finals and league games coming up, and we keep pointing to this 2nd of January where we need to go and play Rangers as well. If players were to get injured, then it's very risky business considering guaranteed third place here. So what really are we going to get out of it apart from some more European experience?
Yeah.
Let me just show you something, dear listener. Hold on 1 second. Stephen Amelia wondering what I'm doing here. But this
What's he doing, Stephen? What is he
this
doing?
This is important.
For the benefit of audio-only listeners, yeah. Jamie is holding up a solid gold 20-minute Tim's pin badge to the camera.
But listen, that was for the YouTube audience. Do you like the look of this gold, this gold, solid gold 20-minute Tim's pin badge? Now, what you have to do to get one of these badges, very, very simple. If you're listening to the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or Podcast Addict.
5-star
review, whatever you like, as long as it's 5-star, but you must put in your Twitter handle if you've got one, or some way for us to contact you that isn't
absolutely crucial, that part, yeah,
doxing yourself. If you're watching on YouTube, just write in the comments, "I want a badge," with your Twitter handle on it, so we can contact you. And we will pick a winner every week. We're going to do that every week. That's as simple as that.
Like and subscribe and then leave that.
Yes.
Look, I don't know if they've liked and subscribed. I just don't know.
Just tell them to do
it. Okay, like and subscribe. I don't know why people ask you to like and subscribe. We just want you to watch the video. That's all we want.
Yep.
Celtic, Stephen, Davey Proven was on. Davey Proven was on Go Rate. Don't listen. See if you've got...
Don't listen is right, yeah.
If you've got a massive, angry, bald man... 6 inches from a camera. Don't light him with phosphorus. That was a glowing skull prophesizing this thing that you've been banging on about for a couple of weeks, Stephen. Yourself, War of the Bald Men here. Stephen versus Proven. David Proven does look like Robocop with it, the front part of his mask.
Absolutely. Murphy, yep. He absolutely looks like that. And he sort of pioneered that look. He's looked like that for a long time, but... He's doing that. He's just saying stuff, isn't he?
I didn't actually touch on what the point was. Yeah, for the past couple of weeks, Stephen's been saying on this podcast, like, there's this myth going about that Celtic's defence is shaky.
And always has been, since the 90s, basically. Yeah.
And that's just simply not the case at the moment. I suspect, well, not domestically anyway. And then no sooner had you said that on last week's podcast, Davey Proven is in on Go Radio or wherever he was, saying exactly that. They wheeled him out in front of a microphone and he says, "I'm not convinced about Celtic's defence."
I sympathise with having to just say things, and you suddenly just start talking and your brain doesn't really know where the end of the sentence is going, and you basically just roll with
it. I've been doing that every week.
Exactly. We're all very experienced in
that. You've given away the secret of podcasting.
But it went down that familiar road of saying, "Oh, they're great going forward, but I really don't think they're much cop at the back," basically. And I'm like, well, that's what everyone says, despite the fact that there's no real evidence for that. And see, if you are just going to go on the radio and just hashtag just say stuff, again, I feel like I've said this a number of times over the years as well. It reminds me of the Sopranos when Uncle Junior's starting to lose his mind, and he's always having a go at Tony for not having the makings of a varsity athlete. So he keeps saying that to him, even though he's a grown man now. And Tony's point is, why do you never repeat anything positive? Why is it not anything positive that you remember?
Every former Celtic player comes out. And with respect to maybe Chris Sutton and John Hartson, these guys do it, but every guy from the 90s, Andy Walker, the list goes on and on. Apart from John Collins, just comes out and has a pop at the club, and it seems to be the way to get ahead. You go to the press and you have a wee pop at the club, especially if you've got a book out, Alan Thompson. Alan Thompson has a book out. It's called A Geordie Boy. I've not read it, and Alan Thompson's been very kind to us, and he's come on the podcast, so I'm not going to sit here and slag the guy or slag the book, but I'm saying nothing about whether this is true or not, but I did have a chuckle at myself when there's two excerpts that have come out of the book this week. One was what Neil Lennon and Ali McCoist said to each other. Remember that burst up in that game?
Shame game?
Yeah, the shame game, absolutely sensational. And the second one was Neil Lennon confronted him about whether or not he was taking cocaine. This is Alan Thompson's sort of thing. So he says he got called into the training ground, and Neil Lennon went to him. The higher ups have asked me if you have a drug problem or taking cocaine.
And you're taking gear.
Yeah, you're taking gear. And Alan Thompson said he wasn't, and he said that was the beginning of the end for his relationship with Neil Lennon. So I must stress, incidentally, I just think it was a bizarre thing to put in a book as an excerpt. He did deny it and all that sort of carry on and all that, but I just thought it was the bizarre. But I thought the more interesting one was the Ali McCoist square up thing. So what we've been talking about this since it happened, every time Neil Lennon was on a Q&A, people go, what did you say? What happened between you and Ali? What did you say? And apparently, after some to and fro and digs and El Hadj Diouf being at it, surprise, surprise, the full-time whistle went. Ali McCoist came to Neil Lennon and said, don't you talk to my players like that. And Neil Lennon said, they're not your players, they're fucking Walter Smith's players. And that's what kicked it all off. Now, I've watched back the video, and to be honest, that kind of does look like what Neil Lennon's saying, right? And I'm so disappointed.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It is so... Hey, McCoist, why are you so touchy? Because they were Walter Smith's players. You were the assistant at the time.
Would they be a manager then?
What? No, I think he was assistant. No. Ali, his manager, was after. Was it no after they went bust? No, he was holding the can. He was the one holding the... He was the one, the manager, when they went bust, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it was before that. I think it was before. Who knows? Okay. Anyway, it's a touchy.
That's rubbish. The whole thing is... Shit is unseemly, isn't it? It's turned out very, very disappointing, because the longer it went on, the juicier the rumours were, the potential, the lip reading and all that. If it's just that, but what did you say that for? Like, both of you?
I loved that Neil Lennon. They'll see the shaved head. Neil Lennon first time around. I mean, that was
snarling, man.
That was peak Lenny. Absolutely brilliant. Anyway, we're not here to plug Alan Thompson's book. I think everyone that listens to this probably follows Alan Thompson on Twitter. And if you don't, you should, because it's an absolute hoot. Celtic v Aberdeen. Melly, this was a difficult game. We said before the Leverkusen game that this was going to be a tough tie. This is probably the more important game that was coming up for Celtic out of the two. Rangers went to Livingston and won. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I think first league game in charge, the wee man managed to get the points on the board. He's so small. So that immediately put pressure on Celtic. And as badly as Rangers are playing just now, I've watched them, they're no great. They're getting results, and we desperately need them to slip up. And it feels to me at the moment, especially when I was watching this Aberdeen game as well, that a lot of the time we're coming up against like really sticky games. And I know Aberdeen was a difficult tie, but they've not been in the best form. And if that was a draw, that could have so closely been a draw. And I was like, fuck, we need to win this game. And it's nervy.
Yeah, I mean, Aberdeen, for as poor as they've been, they did go to Ibrox and get a 2-2 there. So they can perform in these types of games. But again, with the performance, like, I know it was probably a penalty and they did score it, but take away the penalty, they offered nothing going forward. Again, it was a dominant performance from Celtic. Pretty much didn't create as many clear cut opportunities as we had.
20 shots, 4 of them were on target.
Yeah. 20, I didn't even think it was as many as 20 shots, but
I just told you it was 20. Disagree, man.
Facts are facts.
I'm calling him a liar. I'm just, to his face.
One thing I will not argue with the numbers, because they never ever lie. They tell you the full story of everything.
Well, that's it.
But with Celtic again, it was dominant again. Barely gave up a chance then when we were at the game, Stephen, yeah. in the second half of that. They didn't even cross the halfway line until like the 85th minute. So while Celtic weren't brilliant in the game, it's a game after a away European game, we get the victory, but a completely deserved victory again. The only thing really wrong with it, wasn't 3-1, Jota hit the post late on, Kyogo had a shot that was saved. But again, I would never felt Celtic were going to lose the game, barely worried they were going to draw the game. But there's going to be these games, and ultimately from now until January, it doesn't matter how Celtic play, we just need to win the games. So while we can play well and play brilliant, we are dominating games, the result right now is all that matters. In Europe, the performances were more important probably. In the league, results are all that matter, and we got the result.
I was relieved, to be honest. Yeah. Not that I thought Celtic were under threat, for all the reasons Mel has just listed. I totally agree with all of them, really. But I was just relieved because the Livingston game is still fresh in the memory. Despite the fact Celtic have been good since then, there's always the threat that things can just not go your way at home, that can be really, really turgid in these games on occasion. The only moment of real worry was when, was it Ferguson had a header cleared off the line by Juranovic? But even that, I think Hart had it covered behind him. So
I thought you were talking about when Johnny Hayes was lining up to spank.
Pile driver from 30 yards. He is dreadful, by the way.
I can't believe he's still playing.
I know.
Good assist for Celtic's goal.
Good assist, yeah. And I'm really disappointed. I've now seen that back. It didn't come off his arse. No, it was his heel. Although, having said that, at the game and with the replays on the big screen, I did think, if that's off his arse, that's a hard old arse to get on McGregor's got. A hard, pointy arse in order to get that purchase on that from there and put it in. But I came off his heel. But you know what? Having watched it back as well, we did our reaction with Paul from Celtic Fans TV after the game. We were saying, you'll take all the luck you can get and all that. And admittedly, there was a little bit of fortune with it. But Callum McGregor, who was brilliant, by the way, another great game from him. He closed it down. He caused it. No, yeah. It's a forced error. Johnny Hayes leathered it. You know, and if Callum McGregor hadn't closed that down, it would have just been one of those moments where they clear the lines and we go on another attack. But Callum McGregor chose to close it down and all of a sudden we've got a goal out of it. So you make your own luck.
So there's a couple of things I noticed for the Aberdeen game that I thought were worthy to bring up. We don't need to go down the Abada road, but I think with Abada here, he's going through a patch of bad form at the moment. I don't think there's any denying in that. And nothing really happens down the right-hand side.
No.
So we were relying an awful lot on Jota, who was getting a lot of luck. But the ball was just, it went from Ralston to Jota quite a lot. Another thing I noticed was James McCarthy, he was credited with slowing down the play for Celtic, but I thought it was far too much. And I thought there was a lot of the time I noticed when the centre-halves or the defenders got the ball, it was Turnbull tracking back to get the ball, and then he was moving beyond McCarthy. And I'm kind of looking at myself going, what is McCarthy's role in all this? I thought he had a decent game and he ended up getting the through ball for the first goal. So he definitely did contribute. But it was like a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde performance. Well, no Jekyll and Hyde, because some people are saying that McCarthy was really good and then there's me looking at it going, I don't really know. You'd look dead like James McCarthy, actually. just another thing before you finished up. And then another thing I've noticed is most of our closing down happens in the front third. So our front do a lot of the closing down. But see, if you break that line, a lot of it's very passive. We're not doing an awful lot of breaking up in our own third.
Well,
feel free to address those in any order you want.
Yeah, see the McCarthy thing. Like Stephen said, he thought he was a bit indifferent on him. I thought he played quite well, but I don't know if that's me just kind of willing him on or like, playing well for James McCarthy because I'm giving him the benefit of doubt that like, he's not played a lot. He'll not be that fit and all that. But I thought he was getting on the ball a lot. I thought he tried to break up play. I thought when he got the ball, most of his passing was pretty safe into somebody, and I don't know if he's just trying to play his way into it, but I thought he got a lot of the ball. Yes, maybe he could play it forward a wee bit more, but when Celtic are winning, I thought in the second half he really came into the game and we've seen the game out. That's what we needed to do. I think you're right, but there's just something not right about the midfield. While you die,
please continue.
With McCarthy, Rogic, Turnbull, they're not very dynamic, and having two of the three of them in there alongside McGregor, it's not in there. We need somebody with that sort of Stuart Armstrong box to box. I feel we just need more legs in there, more dynamism. But while this is all we have available, I thought McCarthy done all right. Yeah.
I think Callum McGregor's by far was the standout in midfield. He was absolutely unbelievable in the game.
Tremendous. I know. He's just one of those players where you just expect a great performance out of him every week, and to the point where we maybe forget to mention him every week. We've had those in the past as well, where they're so consistent and so brilliant that we kind of forget to nod to them on occasion. But that's exactly what I was going to say on the midfield problem. I was going to kind of combine those two subjects that you brought up. We had the discussion about it kind of first thing this morning in a group chat. We were talking about the various sort of swing in opinion on McCarthy's performance in that game, and that happens with new players. You've got fans who really, really want him to do well, so we'll maybe overstate it, maybe say, oh, he was absolutely outstanding that game. Meanwhile, on the other side of that, you get people who say he should never have been brought to the club, so therefore he was pish. The truth was probably somewhere in the middle, but what we were talking about is that it's the kind of like with McCarthy and Beaton, I think the Celtic midfield has a dynamism problem. It's a word you just used as well, Melly. I think overall we've got a kind of a problem with movement and dynamism in that midfield.
Dynamism?
Yes, definitely use the word dynamism quite a bit more. Callum McGregor totally changes that, but when Callum McGregor comes in, it's then Rogic and Turnbull well, who aren't necessarily the most dynamic either. Sure. So it's something that needs addressed, I think. I think we need more options in there, probably fewer slow players, because one thing I took away from the Leverkusen game is that, yes, they're a better team, but they're also extremely fast. And how it's so difficult to defend against, so difficult to plan for that kind of thing. Yeah. If your opposition are very skillful as well, but if the opposition are stacked front to back, back to front with extremely fast players, then that's
some of their recovery runs in the Leverkusen game. Not to jump back too much, but we would take the ball off them as they were attacking us, play up the pitch, and the guy that we took the ball off would track back and go off our player, and you're like, fuck you, what can you do here?
So imagine Celtic could be like that. Imagine Celtic could be, you know, stacked with really fast players. Easier said than done, of course, but we have got a number of players who are quite slow, to be honest.
Yeah, and speaking of dynamism, it was that man, Jota again. It was a brilliant play down that left hand side. Callum McGregor lays it into him, and just in there again, finishes it off brilliantly. He's a joy to watch. We're going to keep saying it until he's no longer a joy to watch, but embrace him while he's here, and don't worry about signing him or not. We can't control that, but what we can do is enjoy the boy.
And now he's got a cute little celebration to go along with it as well. He's got a sweet, adorable celebration.
That
yeah, his wee Buddha thing, yeah.
I thought that was, Haaland does that, doesn't he? I think he's pinched
that. Oh, is it?
I think he's pinched that.
Less
well.
Impressed now.
There you go. Furuhashi. I feel like he's maybe slightly off the boil a wee bit goals wise, but the work rate is still unbelievable.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I don't think there's such a thing as a quiet Furuhashi game, because despite the fact he might not be getting on the end of chances, and he did have one big one where he could have scored and put it beyond doubt against Aberdeen, but thankfully Celtic got the job done anyway. But what you always get is the constant movement and the constant work rate. So he can be hugely influential without scoring goals, because that's maybe three or four games he's not scored for, and we think that's a goal-scoring crisis, but that's only because of the standards he set earlier in the season. So he's still been contributing in a big way to not only to the amount of work, but just to the overall way that Celtic play. I think he's just absolutely crucial to it.
By the way, shout out to the referee before I forget. Kevin Clancy, absolutely abysmal once again.
Clancy boy.
Always the same.
Always the same. That guy charging through Joe Hart, winding him. I think Joe Hart got winded, blew the air right out of him. No booking.
No.
A couple of minutes later, a blatant kick at Jota. No booking. What I did like to see, though, was Furuhashi leaving one on, I think it might have been McCrory in the box. He had a wee kick out at him. That's what I like to see, a wee bit of. Now, Rangers fans on the internet are hate Furuhashi already. Do you know what I mean? They're, everything he does, every dive and all that.
What else they hate?
What?
They hate being told their manager's really short by them. And do you know the best way to stop that?
Tell me.
Is to get really angry about it.
Yeah.
See, if you get really angry about it, we'll definitely just stop. We'll definitely give that up.
How come our manager, remember some guy went, our manager's 5'10 and Ange Postecoglou's 5'10, why do you? Yes, but your manager's 5'10 because he wears those things in his shoes.
Yeah, lifts.
Aye, listen, your manager's a short king, deal with it, right?
Well, actually, they're the same height. Don't see it. I don't see it myself.
No, don't see it.
Don't see who's like them much anyway.
Your manager wears Cuban heels. Right. Okay, back up. What were we talking about, Stephen?
Furuhashi, Rangers fans hate Furuhashi.
So I like seeing Furuhashi leave one on the Aberdeen defenders, because we need a dirty player. We need at least one dirty player who can stick the foot in somewhere. Yeah. Scott Brown used to enjoy a bit of that, and it's good to see we've got Furuhashi in that. Look, why are we playing Hearts at 7:45 at home on a Thursday, second against third? It's another game. It's going to be pretty tricky for us. I just feel this is a very nervous moment because I feel like we've got the January transfer window in the sights. We're nearly, you know, that's like that, not so much the halfway mark of the season, but that's a milestone. That's a bit of land where we can get some reinforcements, restock, and then continue the rest of this journey. And I think we desperately need those reinforcements. We just can't afford to drop any more points. And I want to see Rangers slip up. They're just not really doing it at the moment, Millie. So, but this is another big game we've got on Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be a testing time for Celtic going up to the January break. But it's going to be a testing time for Rangers. They've got a lot of hard away games that we've already negotiated. Mm. So hopefully something gives in that. But Celtic just need to go out and do their job. Hearts is going to be a difficult one. They will probably try and make it as difficult for Celtic as possible. They know how they play. Another team that's very physical, and I've noticed it in the Aberdeen game, just looking about, they're all just big guys, aren't they? They like, don't have much in the way about talent, but it's all just big guys. So Celtic will need to do their job. We need to keep winning games and we need to keep our players fit. So it's just about managing all this. But we might have Tom Rogic back, so that's something, a bit of a game changer. Maybe Starfelt with a couple other players that are on the cusp of coming back.
People keep telling us about these, but we just had Aberdeen, which is a tricky game. We've got Hearts for second, and then following that, we've got Dundee United that are fourth. You know, reading the names out, you think, well, Hearts aren't up to the much and Dundee United aren't up to much, but the league table tells us that these are our closest competition.
Yeah, drop points against them already this season as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Lost to Hearts and drawn with Dundee United at home even as well. Yeah, that's why I started the last part of talking about Aberdeen is we're saying I was relieved, because as much as I didn't feel under threat by Aberdeen, I was just relieved to get more points because we're still 4 points behind, and it's not like it's 1 or 2 points where it keeps swinging back and forward. We need snookers just now, and we just need to basically keep winning. I know it's not the end of the world if we drop points, but in many ways we don't want to be handing them more opportunities. So we just need to keep winning.
We can't afford that.
It would be nice if we could put the pressure on them a bit, because we'd had a game before, but it's just not working out that way. I think it will on Sunday, because we are 12 o'clock against Dundee United. Yeah. So hopefully by then. But what I used to hate in the past, Martin O'Neill and Neil Lennon done it, was when there was like this sort of end in sight for a certain bit, they'd talk about fatigue and all that kicking in. I don't want to hear any of that.
God, and Neil Lennon loved the word fatigue. Oh,
absolutely loved it. And Martin O'Neill's team always found that sort of last game before the break, that we'd drop points in because he'd be going on about this break. We can talk about it as much as we like. We know we need to get there and get reinforcements in, but he cannot be giving players excuses. I don't think Ange will. He doesn't seem like he's going to do that. Maybe this is why he is bringing off his front three and all that, because he knows he needs to keep them fresh for these games. But this, I just don't want to hear that word fatigue, man.
And on that, we shall wrap up this episode of 20 Minute Tim's flagship podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Just a reminder, we are giving out these free. We'll pick two winners a week. Just leave a comment in the YouTube, I want a badge, or leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Podcast Addict. Stephen, Melly, would you like to say your goodbyes?
On three, 1, 2, 3, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh my God, I messed up. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.